The wife and I decided that we wanted to grow cabbage. The reason why we wanted to grow cabbage is because up here in the Northwest, they take all the green leaf off the cabbage and throw it away. Why do they do that anyway? I don't know. But anyway, they take all the green leaf off the cabbage and throw it away. When we cook cabbage, we like to have the green leaf on there. It makes it just a whole lot better, but they throw it away. So we decided we wanted to grow cabbage. So first we said, we need to go buy these little trays. We bought the trays, right? It's like these little plastic things and you can put water in it. And so we got that. And then we went and got the seed. Those are real cabbage seed. That's what it looks like. If you didn't know, a cabbage seed looks real tiny. I mean, really small. We put the dirt in the tray and voila, we had cabbage sprouts. Now, it only took about 10 days for the cabbage sprouts to come up. But while we were waiting on the cabbage sprouts, we did something that was good, I think. We went outside and we made a planter box because I knew they're only going to be small for so long. I knew that after a while I was going to have something bigger for these cabbage sprouts to go in because they're going to grow fast. We were growing some collard greens too, and they grow really, really fast. You look one day, they're small, and two or three days later, it seems like they've grown several inches. So we went out there and we made the planter box. I made it out of wood and got everything prepared. But here's the thing about growing this seed. I never doubted for a second. The wife and I never had a doubt. Once we put those seeds on the ground, we knew that some of them may not come up. We knew that some of them may come out looking a little deformed. We knew that some of them would just probably come up and then die. But we knew that eventually we were going to have cabbage. Had no doubt that we were going to have cabbage once we put the seed in the ground. And so that's what we got. We got cabbage. We didn't get any yet because the bugs, let me tell you, they took over. Now, we did get collard greens, but the cabbage, it was a failure. But they got big and they got pretty, but it just never made the ball. We're going to have to talk to somebody about that later, about getting to the next level in our gardening. But the point is, it came up and we were prepared for it. We never had a doubt. We never had to really worry about it. The only thing that we had to do was put the seed in the ground and wait the time, and then we knew that it was going to come up. How? We don't know that. How this process, we've seen pictures of it, but what makes it happen, what all the right conditions, we couldn't explain that, but we just knew that it was going to come up. And that same attitude that we have with plants, something so small, something so insignificant, we have to have with souls. We have to be ready to reap the harvest if we do the things that we're supposed to do from the beginning. It's not difficult to put a seed in the ground. That's something that everybody can do, plant a seed. But if we plant the seed and have faith in God, then one day we're going to reap the harvest and we need to be ready to reap it. Amen? We're going to talk about that today, talking about picking up your sickle, Mark 4:26-29. Before we get to picking up your sickle, we need to talk about this passage. This is a good passage to talk about when it comes down to your sickle and growth. This is a great one to go through. So we're going to go through it in a little bit of detail this afternoon. First thing it says, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. We kind of got to stop right there and talk about the kingdom of God. You know, when you see kingdom of God, when you see that mentioned in the scriptures, you have to really put it in context. When you see the kingdom of God, it's not just like, oh, well, the kingdom, and there's just one explanation that it really has to do a little bit of studying and understand what the person who's saying is saying. It's mentioned over 160 times in the New Testament, and right out of the gate, there were several different ways that it was used when it comes down to the kingdom of God. In this particular passage, in this particular method, when you see the kingdom of God, Jesus said it best in John 18:36. Jesus answered, said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. My kingdom is not of this realm. So Jesus is saying that the kingdom that he's talking about is the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about the kingdom that, because God controls everything. God is all powerful. And if God is all powerful, then everything on earth is under his control. But he's talking about the kingdom that is of the saints. The saints are going to be marched in, and that's the kingdom that he's talking about here. So when you turn back to Mark 4:26, and he was saying the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, he's talking about the saints being going up to heaven. That's what he's in reference to, that kingdom, the kingdom of all of us together, all the spiritual kingdom that will all be marched up into heaven one day. That's the kingdom that he's talking about here. Then he says it's like a man who casts seed upon the soil. A man that casts seed upon the soil. This is a good thing. He's talking about Matthew 28:18 here. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. When you're casting seed upon the soil, when you see a reference to that in this particular passage, he's really saying God's love for everybody. He's really saying that everybody deserves to have a chance at salvation. He's really saying that everybody ought to hear the gospel. He's really saying that somebody has to go out and do that. And it's like somebody taking a handful of seed and just throwing it out in the wind there. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's referencing to. And that's a good thing. If we don't have somebody to share the word, if we don't have anybody to throw out the seed, then we don't have anything. John 3:16 says, "So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Now, how many times do you see this scripture? How many times do you see a lot of people using this and just saying, "Oh, well, God loves me so much. God loves me so much that all I have to do is just believe in him and he loves me and everything's going to be okay." What he's talking about is God loves us so much that somebody's out there casting seed. That's what he means. He's not saying that he just loves you so much that everything's going to be okay. What he's saying is, I love you so much that I'm going to give you an opportunity to let this seed fall on good soil so that it can grow. That's what he means by "so God so loved the world that he gave his son." Everybody who believes in his son will have an opportunity at salvation, but if they're obedient, that takes it to the point of salvation. Amen? Now, in this particular passage, Mark 4 there, 26 through 29, he says something interesting. He goes on and says, the man goes to sleep. So the kingdom of God, like all these saints that are going to be marching in to heaven, is like a man scattering seed. And then he scatters the seed, and then he goes to sleep. He goes to bed, and then he rises by day, the passage said, indicating that this man is doing just routine things. He puts the seed out. He spreads the seed. He goes on and does what he's supposed to do, and then he goes to bed, and then he rises by day. He has his routine things that he is doing. If you look at it from a perspective with us, if we're out there planting seeds with folks, we're out there telling folks, hey, this is the truth, this is the things that you should think about planting those seeds, we should just go back to doing what we're supposed to be doing. Just go back to our normal activities, because that's what Jesus is saying in this parable. He's saying this man plants this seed and he just goes to bed and rises by day. He don't know how all these things happen. He just does what he's supposed to do. It's almost like he trusts so much, just like we did with our cabbage. We trust so much that it's going to come up. We just put the seed in the ground and walked off and came back because we knew that it was going to produce. And Jesus is saying here in Mark 4, it's the same thing with this man. This man just plants the seed, he scatters the seed out, and then he goes to bed and wakes up. What does this take? Just think about it for a second. If we're talking about souls, if we're talking about gardening, this takes trust in the Almighty. A trust that we shouldn't have in ourselves. This should be a trust that we have only in God. A trust to realize that God is the one who's going to provide this increase to a person. A trust to realize that we don't have enough power to mess up God's plan. We're not that powerful to mess up God's plan of salvation. We just can't do that. But if we go out there and plant that seed, we have to have enough trust in God that we don't have to try to will it with the person for them to get to that next level of believing. Amen? In my Christian walk, I've seen it a lot of times where I tried to plant the seed and I tried to provide the growth too. I tried to plant the seed and make sure that that person went from this step to the next step to the next step all the way to the baptism pool. And what God is saying is, don't do that. You let me be God. You plant the seed and you let me be God. Don't worry about all that stuff. You just plant the seed. And we'll talk about that, what planting the seed is, a little bit later on. We're even going to talk about it Wednesday night Bible class. But let me tell you, just plant the seed. That's why he goes on to say in Mark 4 and 27 there, and the seed sprouts and grows how he himself does not know. This man does not, he doesn't have a clue how all this is coming together. I mean, we have science now that can kind of teach us some of the ways that some of these things come together. But for somebody to explain from start to finish the exact conditions it takes and everything that you need for a seed to grow, it'd be hard to explain. But God can do that. God can absolutely do that. God is the one who causes it in the first place. And that should, and we'll talk about this later in our lesson, that should give us a sense of calm, a sense of peace, to know that all we have to do is plant the seed. It's easy to think, again, that we have to go out and we have to do everything when it comes down to salvation. What God is saying is, say what you got to say and then walk away. Just say the truth to a person and then walk away. Let him do the heavy lifting. And again, me, several times, I did that the wrong way. I'd say what I had to say, don't even give the person time to think about it, doesn't even give God time to work his godly virtues and everything that he does, and I'm standing there at the person and still blabbering on. Well, I told you the truth. Shouldn't you do this? No. God is saying, hey, say what you got to say and walk away. Have confidence that I'm God. And you go on and do the things. You go to sleep by day. I'm sorry, go to sleep at night and rise by day. That's what you do. And if you do that, I'll take care of the rest. That should be comforting. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You see this process here of a seed growing, and you see everything that goes along with it. I can't say we. I had a Georgia education, so I don't know, you know, how a seed grows from just a seed or being all the way up. Maybe some of the folks out here at Washington education could get that, but we in Georgia, we didn't go over all that. We were barely doing 2 + 2 in Georgia. But this is the process, and it takes time. We'll talk about that time in just a minute. Nobody just puts a seed in the ground and it just comes up overnight. It's like God has given us Jesus has given us a realistic way to look at this situation when it comes down to somebody else growing, and I appreciate that very much. He says in Mark 4:28, the soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. The earth is doing it. You notice that? When it comes down to planting, like I said before, the earth is doing it. And it's going to start small. It's going to start really small. But then after a while, it's going to get really big. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. The soil produces the crops by itself. Did you notice that? By itself, it produces the crop. Again, signifying that you have your part. I have my part. Well, we go out and we say something to somebody, but the soil produces the crop. It's not us that produces it. And that's a lot of weight. For a lot of years in my Christian walk, like meaning year one all the way up until like a year ago, I thought that all this weight was on my shoulder. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I do the wrong thing? What if in my conversations I say or act a certain way and this person just walks away because of what I said? And God is saying, no. Plant the seed. Walk away. Let me work on them. Because how God works on them, we don't know that. Just need to do it. 2 Corinthians 9:10 is a great passage for this. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, it's very important there, and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. It says, now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food, that is God. God is going to do this. He's the one who's applying us this seed in the first place. If you think about it, we wouldn't have a word to give if it weren't for Jesus the Christ. Amen? We wouldn't be out there. We wouldn't have a message to give unless he came and gave it to us. So when it comes down to giving that message, we should follow the directions of the person who gave us the word in the first place. And he said, go out there, plant the seed, and go to bed. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you have trust in me, I'm going to do my part. Because God has never let us down. Everything that he said he was going to do, he's always done. So when it comes down to talking to somebody about Christ Jesus, which, by the way, is the best message that we could possibly give somebody, it's going to save their soul, say it, walk away. Amen? Now, 2 Corinthians 9:10 is a good passage for that. A good thing to remember. But here's the thing about it. We can't go out there planting seed in barren wasteland either. We can't go out there. I mean, when you read this passage, Mark 4, 26 through 29, it says, you know, if you cast the seed, God is going to provide the increase. Now, God can cause anything to grow anywhere, but what I'm saying is we can't just go out there and think that everybody is going to grow. Just like with the cabbage, we knew full well that we were going to have some casualties. As a matter of fact, when we were doing research on, this is very interesting, we were doing research on our cabbage growing and our greens growing and our whatever else we were growing in our garden. It says that you want to put three seeds in that little pod so that you can get the best one, and that when some die, you'll still have some crop. Well, guess what? We put three seeds in there. Some one came up, some two came up, some three came up, some none of them came up. We just knew that the way, that's how it was going to be. We knew that when we planted the seed, that some were going to just grow and become beautiful. But the chances of all of them making it are slim to none. It's that same attitude that we got to have. We don't know what kind of heart that people are going to have. Jesus talks about that in Matthew 13, 1 through 9 there. We don't know what kind of heart folks are going to have when we go out there throwing this seed. We don't know if it's going to be a good heart or a bad heart. Some people may take the seed and it may grow and just produce and produce and produce. And some folks may take it and it's just like, I don't want anything to do with that. Still doesn't take away from. And we could be very successful when it comes down to what God has told us to do if we just throw out the seed. And I look at everybody in here, and everybody is capable of planting a seed. Is everybody capable of getting up there and talking to somebody for 30 minutes and having a Bible study? Maybe not. That's the goal. The scripture says by now some of you ought to be teachers. It didn't say all of you. It says some of you ought to be teachers. Is that the goal? Yes. But can everybody plant a seed? I'm looking at somebody from somebody who's been a Christian for 30 years and somebody who's been a Christian for 30 minutes. Everybody's capable of planting a seed. Planting a seed doesn't necessarily take a lot of scriptural knowledge. Planting a seed, as a matter of fact, most of the time when I plant a seed, I don't even use scripture. I just ask things about their soul, things that they hadn't thought about probably in their whole entire lives, and then just walk away. And if they have the right heart, if they have the right conditions, yeah, 9 times out of 10, I've seen it over and over again. They're going to come back to you and say, what did you say to me on that day? It's a very realistic thing. What kind of tree sprout do you think this is? This is a redwood tree. We went through Northern California, and we went to the Redwood National Forest. And those trees are massive. But it starts out like this. Well, the camera actually had to zoom in on it because it's so small. And just think, some of those redwood trees were as wide from like here all the way over to like where Kyle is sitting wide. I've never seen anything that big before, but it all starts with that little sprout that comes out of the ground. That's only like 6 weeks old. My message to you is that seed just fell on the ground. A lot of them didn't make it, but the one that did grew up to be massive and produced so much, all because of the seed. Now, how powerful is that? That God has entrusted us. How powerful is that? That God has told us that all you have to do is plant the seed, and I'll provide the growth to get it to the point that it needs to be. But the interesting part about this is verse 29. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in his sickle because the harvest has come. God gave us the best part. It's like God said, you plant the seed, I'll do all the heavy lifting because I'm God. But once they're ready, you get to go reap the benefits of it. You get to go claim this person and help them along the way and do all those wonderful things. And God is just saying, I'll take care of the hard part. What a wonderful God we serve that can do something like that, that can do all the heavy lifting. And he's like, you know what? You just plant the seed, I'll do all the hard work, and then you go reap the harvest. You go get the sickle ready. It's a wonderful God if you think about it in that perspective, that he's going to do all those things, and he gave us two things to do, and we just have to do them. When the crop permits, he says he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest to come. It's like he's sitting there waiting. It's like he's sitting there saying, I cannot wait for this harvest to come, knowing full well that it's going to get there. You know, when we put plant seeds with folks, we should have an expectation that somebody is going to come. We should be there waiting. We should be there ready to pounce on the situation, knowing that full well that the time has come when we're going to reap what's going on here. That's a weird picture, isn't it? This is a sickle, in case nobody ever knew what a sickle was. How many people knew what a sickle was? Okay, now I feel embarrassed. Really embarrassed. I had no idea. See, that was our mistake. If we would have knew what a sickle was, our plants would have turned out better, right? But, well, never mind. I don't have to make this point. But no, we'll get back to the sickle a little bit later. What does all this mean to us? When you look at Mark 4:26, that this man pretty much just puts the seed out, goes to bed. What does this mean to us? It means no pressure. We don't have to worry about how all these things are going to happen. This is no pressure. God causes the growth. Matthew 19:26, and looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Every bit of it. We don't have to worry about all the finite details of what we say if we mess up. Again, we're not that powerful. If somebody wants to hear the truth and they have the right heart, we just go out there and plant the seed and it's going to grow. We just have to walk away and trust fully that everything is going to turn out just okay. You know, that's a lot of pressure that comes off of my shoulder. I want you to be encouraged this afternoon. I want everybody in here to be encouraged and say, I can plant seed. I may not be able to do all the other things that go along with it yet. Keyword, yet. But I definitely can plant this seed because God is the one that's going to cause this growth. Another thing we can learn from this is not to be nervous. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious for anything. When it comes down to talking to folks, I used to be so nervous. I mean, like, just sweating when I thought about bringing Christ up to anybody. And I'm not going to, you know, ask to see if that happens to anybody else because I've already got embarrassed once. But I know it happens. I know it does. I know when somebody gets ready to open their mouth and say, I want to talk to you about Christ, it's not easy at first. At first, it's not easy. But after a while, you build up almost like this muscle memory where you can say things and you can just slip little things in. Before you know it, you're looking for opportunities all the time to say something to folks about Christ. And is it difficult sometimes? Yes. Can you plant a seed? Yes. Everybody here can plant a seed and let God be God and cause the growth. That should take a lot of the pressure off. All of us should be sitting here saying, yeah, I can go do that. I may not have all the best biblical knowledge. I may not be able to give you a detailed exposition of Romans 1, but I can plant a seed. I can ask somebody, hey, what's going to happen to you after you die? We'll talk about examples here on Wednesday night, but we can say things. Have you thought about your soul after you leave here? What is your relationship like with God? Just planting seeds. Just say little things and walk away. How God works on them, we've already found out in Mark 4 there. We don't know. We don't know what God is doing. We don't know what the Spirit in the background is doing, but He's doing it. Remember, God is all powerful. If we really believe that, then we shouldn't have any stress about this. I'm going to say that again. If we really believe God is all-powerful, we should not have any stress about converting souls to Christ. Because we got to remember, just like Jesus said, that person has to want it. And if we say what we're supposed to say, just plant the seed, then it's going to grow. Jeremiah 32:17 is a great passage for that. Scattering seed is a good thing, isn't it? I mean, who doesn't need their soul to be saved? Who doesn't need this all-powerful information to get them to the point that they need to be? Who doesn't need to be with Jesus after they leave here? I mean, who doesn't want that? People may not even realize that they need that, but it's still our job to throw that seed out there. Scattering seed, every man needs it. I want us to realize this. Every single man needs salvation. Unless he has something that's more powerful than God, which he doesn't, he needs salvation. This seed will save their soul. Man, how wonderful is that, that God has allowed us to even be in the process. He is so powerful that he could have made the process and completely excluded us. He could have said, you know what, I'm going to do this some alternate way, and I'm just going to have a, you know, a church where, you know, once they're converted, they come in and be together. No, he let us be in the process from the start. And he does all this hard work, and then we get to reap all the benefits of that. And lastly, planting that seed, start the process. I'm telling you, when you're out there in a garden, and I know a lot of people have gardens, but you learn patience real fast. Because we were looking out the window like every 2 days at first, like, we don't have cabbage yet. Takes time. And then we learn that, and we realize that. And then you get certain plants that grow like that, and after a while you're like, why won't it stop? Kale is, that's a good example of that. You put kale in the ground, you're like, why won't it stop? I just need to take it out by the root. It just won't stop. And that's the same thing that's going to happen with some of the folks that you just planted the seed with. You're going to plant that seed, and you're going to look 5 years later, and you're like, my goodness, look at all this production that this person is doing, all because we planted the seed. That's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to remember. Patience, patience, more patience. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6 and 6. 2 Corinthians 6 and 6. We'll actually start in verse 3 there. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience and tribulations and needs and distress and stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and fastings by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, patience, in New King James, by kindness and the Holy Spirit with sincere love. It mentions it twice there. We have to have patience when it comes down to planting this seed. What a wonderful way that God explained it in Mark 4 there. Realizing that it's going to take time, realizing that all of these things are not just going to happen overnight. This is something that we can learn. I think that's why, I can't be for sure, but that's why Jesus used it in this parable and with the parable of the sower, and when he used it in here in Mark 4. I think that's why he did it, so we can have things that we can understand. As a matter of fact, he said, this is why I give you parables, so that you can understand. And hopefully we'll be able to understand exactly what's going on when it comes down to this particular passage when we compare it to growing seed. Want everybody, again, to be encouraged. Be encouraged by this passage. I know we've been talking about evangelism, and the elders have put together, all of us together have put together our vision to be evangelistic congregation. And I know that, it may seem difficult to get from being at this point to being at another point or being to the finish line. But my encouragement today is just be really, really encouraged and understand that we don't have to do all the hard parts. We serve a God that can do everything. And if we just keep it simple, if we just do the part, just put the seed in the ground, just say something to somebody that needs it to be said, we'll be okay in that perspective. Have you ever seen some of these things on Facebook and people working out, and it's called, they say, trust the process. Trust the process. You see that all the time, especially when it comes down to like working out or getting in shape and all that. We signed up for a gym membership in Texas, and we got like this personal trainer, some kid that didn't have my bones, and he was working us out, and he was like, trust the process. He just kept saying, trust the process. I can remember that vividly. And finally, I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, you just do what needs to be done now, knowing full well that if you keep doing that, at the end, you're going to be here. You just got to trust the whole process. Now, that's a process made by man when it comes down to working out, when it comes down to getting back in shape. What about the process that God has made? What about the process that he has designed? What about a process that comes from the God that created the heavens and the earth, that even created us? He's telling us, just plant the seed, let me do the hard work, and you'll be able to go pick up your sickle and get the harvest. What a wonderful message. My message to you today is pick up your sickle. Be ready for it. If you go out there and plant the seed, have trust and faith in Christ Jesus that all of this is going to come to pass. Planting seed is not like a one thing. You know, I'll say this before I'm done. You see that picture up there with all the cabbage seed up there? You want to know what I was doing when I was first came to Christ? I would like wet my finger and stick my finger in the cabbage seed and get one seed on there, and I go flick it out, hoping that somebody would grab onto it. Jesus is saying, no, you get the whole pile and you just throw it. That insinuates that everybody that we come in contact with just plant a seed. You don't have to say something earth-shattering. You don't have to keep any bullets in the chamber. You just have to just do everything you possibly can to just say something. And before you know it, folks are going to be coming back to you saying, what did you say about that? I've never heard anybody ask me that question before. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying in Mark 4, 26 through 29. I know I've said a lot. We had some technical difficulties at the beginning here. Kind of threw me off. I was in a rhythm. I was ready to roll, and the microphone messed me up. But that's okay. I'll make up for it next Sunday. My message to you today is simple. If we really trust in God, if we really believe in His power, we really understand everything that He's capable of, then we should do our part that He's told us to do. If we really trust that He is the God that really spoke the heavens and earth into existence, then He's the God that told us, gave us the prescription on how to bring men to Him. And we should just do it. And once we do that, once we plant our seed, we should just pick up our sickle. If you're a Christian here today and that hadn't been your strong point and you want to work on it, come forward and ask the church for prayers. As I said this morning, the prayers of the righteous will do us real good. That's not me saying that. That's what the Bible says. And if you're not a Christian, maybe today was your seed planting. Maybe you just got it for the first time. Maybe this is your first time ever hearing it. If it needs time, that's fine. We're patient. God is patient to a point. But at a certain point, we'll all have to answer to what we've done. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.